Shalom, welcome to Ask JTF, the program in which we attempt to answer questions from our great JTFers. I'm Chaim Ben Pesach from the Jewish Task Force. Before we begin our program, this program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Mitman, Shlomo Ben Sara, and Dorit Bat Sara, and to Ilui Neshamot, Elevating of the Souls, for Malka Bat Meir, Allegra Bat Shlomo, Daniel Nankin, Victor Chazdai, Pesach Zeev Ben Dov, Lunita Hadler, Shifra Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Barry Hoffman, Harav Mir Kahana, Harav Binyamin Kahana, Tzipora Fegi Bat Liba, Yosef Ben Meir, Robert Mitman, Dennis Shore, Helen Friedman, and Charles Zolat. You know, this week we saw a more tragic murder of Jews in the land of Israel. Just 2 days before the filming of this program, five more Jews were murdered by Arab terrorists in Bnei Brak, which is a religious suburb of Tel Aviv. And it was the fifth Arab terrorist attack in several days. Because as long as we have millions of Arabs in the land of Israel who hate the Jewish people, who believe in a religion that says that the whole world has to be Dar al-Islam, has to be controlled by Islam, and that Israel has no right to exist and the Jews have to be destroyed, as long as we leave millions of people who hate us in the land of Israel, this is what is going to happen, and God forbid much worse than this. Morenu v'Rabbeinu Harav Meir David Kahana Zecher Tzaddik v'Kadosh Livracha Hashem Yikom Damo was right. Our beloved Rabbi Kahana was right. We have to expel the Arab Nazi enemy from the land of Israel. We have to encourage all the Arabs to leave. And if they haven't been involved, if they haven't been convicted yet or arrested for terrorist attacks, we should offer them compensation to leave. And the vast majority of them want to leave. So this is something that is very doable. If they have been involved, if they've already been arrested or involved in terrorist attacks, they should get no compensation. They should just be thrown out. That was what Rabbi Kahana proposed, and he was so right. And now no one in Israeli politics supports that. No one stands for that, including Itamar Ben-Gvir, who was elected to the Knesset. Some people think he's a Kahanist, but he has said that Rabbi Kahana was wrong. He said that, no, we can have coexistence with the Arabs that want to destroy us. So no one is giving the true message to the Jewish people today. JTF tries to bring that message. And we have millions of views on our videos. Millions of views. So many Israelis have seen JTF's message. If JTF wasn't there, nobody would be bringing the true Kahanist message to the Jewish people. Nobody. No one else says what has to be said. But at a time like this, you would wonder, what is the Israeli government? What are they doing about this? Aside from giving billions of dollars in assistance to Arabs to keep them in Israel, to keep them happy and let them stay there and have more babies and increase their population and increase the danger to the Jewish majority in Israel. Aside from that, what is the Israeli government doing? And it's no different. By the way, this government of Naftali Bennett and Ayelet Shaked and Benny Gantz and Yair Lapid is no different from the prior government of Benjamin Netanyahu and the Likud. In fact, Netanyahu and the Likud gave more money to the Arabs than left-wing governments did. And Netanyahu bragged about it in his campaigns. He said, I give more money. I've given you more money, he told the Arab voters, than you got under left-wing governments, and he was telling the truth. He helped them even more, because the phony right is worse than the left. All the governments in Israel have not been telling the truth. And so you might wonder, but Jews are being slaughtered in the streets every couple of days and other terrorist attacks. What does the government do? What is being done about this? At a time when this is happening, you know what this government is doing? They're destroying hilltop communities, the hilltop youth communities. The only people who are doing what's right, who are responding to massive illegal Arab building and the Arab invasion and takeover of Judea and Samaria, the only people responding to this are the heroic hilltop youth. And those are the ones whom the Israeli government sends the police and the border guards in and the border police in to destroy their homes and brutally beat them and throw them out of their homes. The Israeli government never does that with illegal Arab building. They beat women and children, Jewish women and children, whose only crime is they want to settle in their own land and save Israel from a so-called Palestinian state, which would be national suicide for Israel. Israel would go back to borders that are only 10 miles wide, or 6 to 9 miles wide at the narrowest point of Israel's waistline. Two more hilltop youth settlements were destroyed. We spoke about this in last week's program. But we didn't speak about the fact that something else happened during that destruction. Something else tragic happened. I think it's tragic. These heroic hilltop youth, one of the things they do is they rescue animals. They have sheep and goats and lambs and other beautiful animals. And they're very kind to the animals. Because the hilltop youth are good Jews, are God-fearing good Jews, and they're very kind to their animals, and they rescue animals from the Arabs, because if the Arabs get a hold of animals, they brutally mistreat them. They sadistically murder them and mistreat them. But one of the things the hilltop youth do is they raise dogs, and the dogs, of course, guard their communities, and the dogs also help with the sheep and the lambs and the goats when they go out to graze. The dogs help them and protect them. And on one of these two hilltop communities that was destroyed last week, they had a dog named Tesla. Like the car, Tesla. They named the dog Tesla. It was a beautiful white dog. Very loyal. Loved the family and loved everybody there. And was wonderfully loyal and loyal to all the animals and protected all the animals. And protected the property there very loyally. And you know, dogs are pack animals. And dogs, when they're loyal, when they're part of a pack, they'll die to protect other members of the pack. And that was true with Tesla. He was willing to give his life to protect. When he saw those bulldozers and the other machinery that they brought in to destroy these beautiful hilltop communities and to throw 8 Jewish families out of their homes and destroy their homes and destroy all their property and all their furniture. When they went in to destroy the home that he lived in with his family, Tesla instinctively ran to protect the home. He ran toward the home and they saw him running there. And they continued destroying the home even though Tesla ran in to protect the home. And so the home was the home collapsed on Tesla and he was crushed to death. He gave his life trying to protect the home of the hilltop family that he loved. I don't know where all of the animal lovers, the people who supposedly defend the rights of animals, where are they in all of this? How come I haven't heard them condemning this? You know, the border police of the Israeli government sent go in and murder the dog, murder an animal, deliberately, maliciously murder an animal, while they're destroying the homes of this beautiful family. Something which, again, they never do to Arabs. You'd never see them go in and destroy Arab homes like this. You'd never see them beat Arab women and children the way they beat Jewish women and children on these hilltops when they come in to destroy. You'd never see them go in and be cruel to the animals. You never see this when they go into Arab. They never even touch the Arab illegal building. I want to read you a poem that was written by someone named Sharon Marcus. She wrote a poem in a local newspaper called Queen's Jewish Link, which is a local Orthodox Jewish newspaper. It's a free newspaper. And she writes poems every week. It's a weekly newspaper. She writes poems every week there for the past 2 years. And many of her poems are about the hilltop youth. I want to read you her latest poem. I hope that I'm able to do this properly. I hope that I can do it. Let's see if I'm able to do this. Let's see here. Oh, I hope I'm able to find it now. I hope I am able to find this. This will be... Let me see here. 1 second. Here we go. I think I got it. Yes. Now, I got to warn you that I'm going to be reading this poem, and it's because of the way I copied it, it isn't copied properly, so I'm not going to read it properly, and you won't hear it. All rhymes. It's put together beautifully, but I'm not reading it. I'm not going to be reading it beautifully because it's my fault, not the fault of the author of the poem who did it perfectly. Okay. The name of the poem is Ode to Tesla by Sharon Marcus. And here it goes. Bet you're thinking that this is about the pricey car, but our Tesla's worth was much higher by far. Tesla was our dog, who has just met a brutal end. These pitiful words salute you, noble friend. From head to waggy tail, you were a snowy white. Our happiness and friendship were your heart's delight. You may not have known just how much you helped our cause, ever raring to go on board with all four paws. Our faith is a stronghold, our hope our reservoir, a reservoir. At Ma'oz Esther and Aira Shachar, two Yishuvim, our homes as placeholders we stand, simple farmers and shepherds in God's holy land. Arabs are staking claims throughout the area and the liberated lands of Judea and Samaria. Their strategy is clear. They seek Israel's downfall, infiltrate and reign terror, aiming to destroy us all. Here at the Yishuvim, you won't find luxury. What we do have has true meaning. It is the truest augury. We have no running water, no playgrounds for the kids, no electric, only Arabs may tap into the grids. These Arabs try to kill us, Israeli forces beat us too. They'll never comprehend what it means to be a Jew. Arab eyes intent upon us to kill us, steal our goats and sheep. But Tesla, watchful sentry, they'd never catch you asleep. It was the border police who caught you in the latest mayhem. When they bulldozed our homes, they crushed you under them. Said a prayer, caught my breath when we found you, but then realized, Tesla, you wouldn't be getting up again. Was this cruel act done on purpose to demoralize? HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, nothing is hidden from his eyes. Many are shocked as the world careens beyond the pale. All emanates from the injustice done to Jews in Israel. Goodbye, Tesla, loyal, faithful pup. Don't worry, boy, we'll never give up. We always love you dearly, you always knew and loved us too. Goodbye, good boy, Tesla, you good dog, you. That's the poem from the great Sharon Marcus, who writes great poems. And again, it's in the Queens Jewish Link, which is a local weekly Orthodox Jewish newspaper that's read pretty widely among Orthodox Jews in Queens. You know, we have a budget where we give about $400,000 a year to the Hilltop Youth. We're the only organization outside of Israel that supports the Hilltop Youth and that gives money to them. The only organization. And again, we have a budget of roughly $400,000 a year. And we have a very hard time meeting that budget. We don't have enough money to even meet that budget. And that's for a lot of the basic essentials, because you imagine we have hundreds of people living there and dozens of strategic hilltops. $400,000 doesn't, you know, they make it go very far. They have their own car mechanics and their own, and they do their own building and they take care of their own land and, I mean, they really make it go far, these very noble, ingenious Jews that live there, these noble, young Jewish heroes that live there. But still, you know, they raise money, and they, of course, raise money in Israel as well, but still, it's not nearly enough to meet the challenges they face. If the Hilltop Youth don't win this battle, we will lose Judea and Samaria, and there will be a Palestinian state, because the Arabs are conquering on the ground and taking over and creating a state in everything but name. If the Hilltop Youth lose, God forbid, we will lose Judea and Samaria. Chas v'chalila, God forbid. If the Hilltop Youth win, obviously, we'll prevent this terrible catastrophe and we'll have the land of Israel for the Jewish people, the biblical heartland of Israel in Yehudah and Shomron and Judea and Samaria will be for the Jewish people for all generations. Help us. Help us build their defense. They need money even for defense. Look at the Arab terrorists. They're really exposed, the Hilltop Youth. They're the ones on the front lines. If not for them, what happened in Bnei Brak 2 days ago where five innocent Jews were murdered would be happening on a massive scale all over Israel. They are our frontline defense. They need our help. They need our help for defense, to defend themselves and their families and their women and their babies and their children that are living there. Their lives are in danger. They need, for instance, they have used pickup trucks that, because they use them, because they use them a lot and it's very rough terrain, the pickup trucks always have to be repaired and there are always problems. They need to buy better pickup, at least a couple of better pickup trucks. And that costs money. And we can't, out of the $400,000 a year that we give them, that are going to essentials, we don't have money to pay for extra pickup trucks. We don't have money to give them electric lines so that they'll have electricity, so that they'll heat in the winter instead of depending on generators that are costly and clumsy and difficult and don't provide as much heat. We want to provide them with an electric, with connection to the electric, to an electric grid. We need money for that. Help us. There's no cause more noble than this. There's no cause more important than this. How could anybody not understand the importance of this cause and the nobility of this cause and the sanctity of this cause? To give money to build in the heartland of biblical Israel, to prevent the Arabs from taking over our biblical heartland, how could there be anything more important? If you believe in God, if you believe in the Torah, if you believe in our destiny as the as Am Nivchar, a chosen people, Goy Kadosh, a holy nation, if you believe that we're the ones who have to bring Geulah Shlema, Vesofit, the final and complete redemption, if you believe in this and understand this and believe in what we're required to believe in, there is nothing more important, more essential than this cause. You couldn't do anything better than to help this cause. And how I wish we could find that very, that wealthy, generous Jew who would give us the really big funds that would really make a historic difference. But anything you give will help. And if we do find that Jew who's willing to give us, you know, there are Jews who give, who raise hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars for all types of things, building synagogues on Long Island and in Muncie and in Brooklyn and in Beverly Hills and in Los Angeles. This is a graveyard for the Jewish people outside of Israel. Don't you see 90% of American Jews already assimilated and intermarried and are gone? 90% of American Jews don't even want to be Jewish anymore. Don't you realize what's going on around you? The only place where we have a future is in Eretz Yisrael, and that's the way it should be. That's the only place where we should have a future, where we deserve to have a future. We need to build new homes so more families can move in. We don't have the money to give them to build new homes because new families want to move in. We don't have the basic resources to build them basic infrastructure. If we could do this, these hilltop communities are blocking the Arab invasion of Israel. Why wouldn't you want to be part of this noble cause? People who sign their names on checks for the hilltop youth. People who are signing their names on checks, who are putting their names on checks, are also putting their names in the history books of the Jewish people and in the history of the world, because the whole world's destiny is decided and determined by what happens to the Jews in that little land, the land of Israel. That will decide the future of the whole world. All nations, their destiny is dependent on Israel, and Israel is the nation where the future of the world is determined. It's in our hands. It's the most noble and the most essential cause of our generation, and yet gets so little support compared to all the nonsense. I mean, Jews giving tens of millions of dollars to Ukrainian Nazis that slaughtered hundreds of thousands of Jews during the Holocaust and are still Nazis to this day, always were and always will be. Once a Nazi, always a Nazi. Jews give money for such garbage causes, such disgusting evil causes. Help us. Give us everything you can afford. Help us find people who can give us even more. Help us find other contributors and donors. Help spread the word about JTF. to other people, in English and in Hebrew. Those of you who know Hebrew, spread the word in Israel. You know, we have an advertising campaign in Israel with our videos as well. And our videos have many, many views. And we're trying to reach people as much as possible in Israel. Help us with this. This, you know, if you don't feel good after helping JTF help the Hilltop Youth, if that doesn't make you feel good, there's something wrong, something very wrong. And if you can turn your back on this and on the Hilltop Youth, you're turning your back on the land of Israel, you're turning your back on the most noble cause of our day, and again, something's very wrong if you do that. Okay, let's get to our questions now, Bezrat Hashem, God willing, from our great JTFers. And we will start off with Ram 770, who writes his questions in Hebrew. Let me, this week, let me read this to myself to go more quickly, because most of our people don't understand Hebrew, and I'll translate what he's saying. Shalom Chaim Hayakar, Mashlomcha, Ratziti Lahagid Lecha, Sheod Hashavua. Okay, Ram is writing to me about a meeting that he's going to have. Ani, Ram, Ani Atargem Ma Sheta Kotev Beivrit, Bli Likro Et Hakol, Bli Lahakri Et Hakol, Ki Ze, Ki Hanashim Shelanu Lo Mevinim. There's a meeting, and Ram wants to invite a meeting at his home for this movement that he's creating there, and he wants to invite Ron. Ron is our representative in Israel. He wants to invite him to come to the meeting in Haifa. Ron me'od haya rotze lavo la mifkash shelachem, aval letzari hu kol kach asuk, ein lecha musag ad kama hu asuk. הוא כל כך עסוק שאני חושב שהוא לא יכול. אם הוא יכול, מה טוב, אבל אני חושב שהוא לא יכול. Okay, now Ram writes, he asked me about the attack, or he asked me about the speaking to Jonathan Pollard, and he asked me about doing an interview on Arutz 14, which is channel 14, and he asked me, and he's telling me about about how someone attacked someone is attacking somebody for speaking up about a confrontation with an extreme leftist Bar-Lev. Okay, Ram, ani maskim itcha she'ele שמגנים, אני חושב שאיתמר בן גביר בלוף, אני לא חושב שהוא כהניסט אמיתי או ימין אמיתי, אני חושב שגם האימות שלו עם בר לב זה היה סתם הצגה. בינתיים הוא אומר שהרב כהנה לא צדק, בינתיים הוא אומר שיש דו קיום עם הרבים, אז כל זה בלוף. בכל אופן, אני מסכים שאפילו אם אפילו מגנים אותו, זה באמת רישות וזה באמת נורא. אני מסכים איתך רם, אני מודה לך על כל מה שאתה עושה, ובעזרת השם אנחנו נמשיך לשתף פעולה. And I just told Ram that I thank him for all that he does, and I hope we'll continue to cooperate and work together. Now we have a question from Hirvatsky Noachide, who writes, and I quote, Hirvatsky Noachide always asks very good questions, the best questions. And Hirvatsky Noachide writes, and I quote, can you give an example showing that Moses explained the Torah's seven commandments for the Gentiles, and that the details they previously did not know were commanded to them by God with their explanations through Moses? Oh, wow. That's quite a question. I don't know if everybody knows this, but, you know, the seven commandments that were given to Bnei Noach, because the Jews have 613 commandments, what's called Taryag HaMitzvot, and then there's Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach, the seven commandments of Bnei Noach for the Gentiles. But Hashem at Mount Sinai gave 613 commandments to the Jews, and at the same time, Hashem once again commanded the Gentiles to observe the seven commandments the seven commandments in the Torah for the Gentiles. And we have evidence from the Torah itself that the commandments for the Gentiles actually were given before the 613 commandments were given to the Jews. Before God spoke to the Jewish people, before God appeared before the Jewish people and they said, then they saw his voice, it says. Which was, in other words, a prophetic revelation. The Jewish people, the entire Jewish people had a prophetic revelation at Mount Sinai. But before that happened, days before that happened, Moses came and repeated the seven commandments for the Gentiles and several other commandments that were given to the Jews after coming out of the land of Israel. And I want to quote, if I can find, I hope I can find it. There's always a challenge. I never know if I always want to say I want to find something and do it, and then I never know if I'm. I hope I'm able to do this. Let me see. This is in Sefer Shmot. Sefer Shmot is the book of Exodus, where this appears, where we see all of this, the sequence of events, that the seven commandments given to the Gentiles and the other three commandments that were also given to Israel and the Jews also have to, of course, keep the seven commandments of Bnei Noach as well. That was all given before the Jews got all 613 commandments, and before God spoke to the Jews, Moses came and told them what the commandments are. Let me see if I can find this. I'm trying to find this. Shmot, is it Perek Kaf Gimel, which would be chapter 23, or is it Perek, either that or it's Perek Kaf Dalet, which would be chapter 24. No. It has to be 24. Yes. Okay, it's 24. It's Shmot Perek Kaf Dalet, which means Exodus chapter 23. And I'm going to read you one verse, which is Gimel, which is verse 3 in that chapter. Vayavo Moshe vayasaper la'am et kol divrei Adonai ve'et kol ha'mishpatim vaya'an kol ha'am kol echad vayomru kol hadvarim ha'ele asher diber Adonai na'ase. Okay, what I just read was, and Moses came and he told the people all the words of Hashem, and he told them all of the commandments, and the people answered in one voice and said all the words that Hashem has spoken, we will do. Okay, what does that mean? That means that Moshe Rabbeinu came and gave them again the commandments. And included in that was the seven commandments of Bnei Noach. So they got their commandments from Moshe Rabbeinu at Mount Sinai even before the Jews got the whole 613. Now the Jews also got the seven commandments, but those seven commandments that were given to Bnei Noach and to the Jews were given even before the Tariag Mitzvot, all of the Torah was given as a whole. So we see that the Gentiles have an affirmation of the fact that they have to keep the seven commandments, and now they're getting an affirmation from Moshe Rabbeinu and God himself through Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, is God's Navi, is God's prophet. And so this is coming from God himself affirming that you got to keep these seven commandments. So they received this message days before the Jews had their prophetic revelation about the entire Torah. So that's number one. That's quite a, that's quite a development in the history of Bnei Noach. That's a very significant development. The commandments were given. When the commandments were given, there is some oral law interpretation and explanation in them when Moses gave the commandments. And so there were some more details given, although about Torah Shebe'al Peh. Torah Shebe'al Peh means the oral law. Even though all of the oral law for the seven commandments was not given at that time, all of it was not given at that time, even to Bnei Noach, because Moshe Rabbeinu later, after God spoke to the Jewish people, Moshe Rabbeinu later had to go to Mount Sinai again, had to go up to Mount Sinai again for 40 days, and then got all of the oral law as well, and that included oral law for the seven commandments of Bnei Noach. But all of this is striking in that, again, there's no question that the Gentiles get more affirmation of the fact that they have to keep these commandments and how important it is, and how this is part of their role that they play in the world, because the Gentiles are going to run all the lands outside of Israel in the next world. The Jews are going to be running the land of Israel, and they're going to prepare the land of Israel in Yerushalayim and Beit HaMikdash, the Holy Temple in Jerusalem. They prepare that for the Gentiles to make their pilgrimages every year. But the Gentiles are going to be running all the nations outside of Israel, the righteous Gentiles, the ones that have eternal life, because in the next world we have eternal life. And the next world, by the way, is in this world. We're talking about here, on earth. The Gentiles will have eternal life, and they'll be running all countries outside of Israel, and the Jews will be running the land of Israel, and the Gentiles will make pilgrimages once a year. And the Jews and the Gentiles will continue to learn and get tremendous knowledge and other benefits from God, and it really will be paradise on earth. But the Gentiles got more affirmation of this at Mount Sinai. And what we quoted here is proof of the fact that Moses himself gave them the commandments again at Mount Sinai, even before the revelation to the open revelation to the Jews. Thank you, Hidovatsky. I hope that explanation was as understandable, as comprehensible. And now we go to our friend Yimach Shmo to Islam, who writes, Dechayim, which is worse for your health, smoking or vaping? Yimach Shmo to Islam, that's like asking me which is worse for your health, heroin or cocaine. They are both deadly. Nobody should do either one. I hope you're not doing it, God forbid. And no one should do either one. They are both deadly and very addictive. And the answer to get off of an addiction of smoking is not to start vaping, because that's also a deadly addiction. I know that it's a difficult addiction to kick when someone smokes, but it's something that has to be done. It should be done on a day-to-day basis. People should say, today I'm not going to smoke, and have tremendous influence, and, you know, tremendous perseverance and discipline, and just one day, I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow, but today, one day, take it a day at a time. If you say, today I'm not going to smoke, I don't know what's going to happen afterwards, but today I am not going to smoke. I'm going to go to sleep tonight, and I'm not going to smoke for the rest of the day, and I'm going to go to sleep tonight, and that's going to be it. And tomorrow morning when I wake up, I don't know what will be. And then tomorrow morning, you do the same thing. You say the next day, and day by day by day, and eventually, you learn to live without these horrible, horrible, addictive substances that are very harmful to the body. Thank you, Yimach Shmo to Islam. And now we go to our friend Joe Gutfeld, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, this year marks the 50th anniversary of the Munich Olympic terrorist attack on the Israeli Olympic team. What are your memories of this tragic incident? Have you ever seen that documentary called One Day in September? It's very good, detailing the attack. Thanks, unquote. Now, I've never seen the documentary, but of course I remember it. I was 15 years old when it happened, but I remember it vividly. And, 11 Israeli athletes were brutally murdered under the orders of the Arab Hitler Yasser Arafat, the PLO terrorists that Israel now gives billions of dollars in aid to. They're the ones that murdered the 11 Israeli athletes, the Fatah terrorists. Fatah is the group that we work with against Hamas. Fatah has murdered far more Jews than Hamas. You know, as usual, everything we're told by the establishment, the opposite is true. It's always the opposite. Fatah is more dangerous than Hamas. And the so-called Arab moderates, who pretend to be moderate but are really doing takiyah is deception in Arabic. Muhammad ordered the Muslims in the Quran to use takiyah against the kofrim, against the non-Muslim infidels. The so-called Arab moderates are more dangerous enemies than the Arabs, who openly tell us what they want to do. But it was a terrible attack. I do remember it vividly, and unfortunately, no matter how many times the Jews are attacked, many Jews just never learn their lesson. That's unfortunate. That's something we have to try to change in JTF. Thank you, Joe Gutfeld. And we go now to our good friend Binyamin Yisrael, who has a very long question here. I'm just going to read the basics, Binyamin, because it's very long, and this is a very long show today. One, did you know about Cesar Chavez Day before reading this? No, I did not know that it's Cesar Chavez Day. Okay, and Binyamin writes other details which you can read if you go to his post on the thread that was open for this week's SJTF. And Binyamin asked me to discuss Cesar Chavez. Cesar Chavez was a Mexican Marxist extremist who was aligned with all of the anti-Semites and all of the left-wing people, and the self-hating Jews, of course, all supported him. But he's an extremist and a Marxist, and what he represented was just bad news. Look what's happened to California. Look what's happened to other places because of this. And we have a Mexican invasion and takeover of states like California, New Mexico, now Arizona and Texas. Texas, by the way, has a non-white majority now. The country is being destroyed because we're tolerating people who want to destroy the United States, who want to take over the United States, and they're succeeding. And it happens under Democrats just as it happens under Republicans. You know, nothing changes. This is just continuing to progress, and things are just getting worse and worse. Benjamin now writes, did you know March 8th is International Women's Day? Before I posted it for last week's program, and why do so many white women make themselves look black? Okay, now I didn't know about International Women's Day. why do so many white women make themselves look black? And other details that Benjamin writes about that. Because whites are becoming self-hating, and whites, we're being taught that white is bad. To be Caucasian is bad. And to come from a people like the blacks of Africa, who before the whites and Arabs and other slave traders came, they were swinging on trees in the jungle and never produced anything, that's considered to be good. That's considered to be good. So, what can I tell you? It's very sick and terrible, and that's just what society has become, and it just shows what a sick world we live in. Everything is upside down. Everything is upside down. Everything is crazy. Thank you, Benjamin. Now we go to our friend Chicago Jew, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, with the exception of our opinion of the COVID pandemic, we both agree on virtually most everything else. It is because of you that I've become closer to my Jewish religion and heritage, which I once again thank you. Unquote. Thank you very much, Chicago Jew. That's very nice to hear. And Chicago Jew, you know, I remember meeting you. I had the privilege of meeting you when you came to meet me and my beautiful late mother, Zichrona Livracha, Aleha HaShalom, which means may her memory be immortalized, or may her memory live on, and may peace be upon her. I remember you came and visited me and my mother and met us, and it was a privilege and an honor to meet you, and it's a privilege and an honor to have you on our forum. Thank you, Chicago Jew. And now we go to the great Nekama, who really is a great JTFer, a really great person, a great Jew, who writes, and I quote, Dear Chaim, hope all is well. One, I was glad to hear that the pickle-nosed kike known as Madeleine Albright, Yimach Shema V'Zichra, croaked. What a self-hating Jew, and she is responsible for the deaths of thousands of Jews in Israel. Please discuss, unquote. Yes, she was the Secretary of State under Bill Clinton when they had the Oslo agreements that led to the deaths of thousands of Jews, literally. This monstrous evil beast, Madeleine Albright, Yimach Shema V'Zichra, thank God that she's gone and burning in hell now. This beast, she claimed she people thought she wasn't Jewish because she always denied being Jewish. She claimed she was Hungarian, that she was an Hungarian Gentile. She denied, she tried to cover up the fact that she's Jewish. Then she said, oh, I didn't know that I was Jewish, when an investigative reporter uncovered the fact that she was Jewish and that her family had clearly Jewish name, and it was so obvious, anyone who knows anything knows that she had to be Jewish. So, you know, and she, of course, being a historian and someone who taught in universities and so on, of course she knew that she was Jewish. She's just a filthy, stinking, self-hating pig. And thank God that she's gone. Nekama now writes, and I quote, too, what are your thoughts on the fight between Will Smith and Chris Rock? Is this an example of you can take the Schwartz out of the housing project, but you can't take the housing project out of the Schwartz? All the best. It certainly is. You know, Will Smith has a history of doing this. He's done this to other people before, in public, by the way. He smacks and punches and hits people in public. He's just the typical Schwartzer. And yeah, this is their culture. This is put on national television to set examples, to be role models for, and you know, someone asked in a previous question, why do white women try to look black? You know, this is an example of how sick the society is. The role models now are people like this, or this type of dreck. These are the role models in our society now. Terrible. Thank you, Nekama. And now we go to another very good friend of ours, Italian Zionist, who writes, and I quote, "Hi, Chaim. The subject of you not being able to get a book published came up last week. You should be able to get your book published for free on Amazon KDP site." KDP is, I don't know what, okay, I don't know what it is, but I guess it's they have a site for free publishing. If you need further info on the subject, please, please, LMK let me know. Ah, LMK is let me know. See, I got one, Italian Zionist. I actually got one. Okay. Thank you for that, Italian Zionist. The problem is I don't have time to write books. I'm just so busy and overwhelmed with all that we're doing because of the urgent situation with the Hilltop Youth. I don't have time to write books, unfortunately. And, you know, if I got it published for free, we'd have a problem. How do we publicize? How do we get people to buy it? You know, you got to publicize. You got to have money for a publicizing campaign. You got to have advertising. You got to, you know, it's not easy. You got to invest. It's never really free. You got to invest to sell books. But anyway, but it's something to think about. You know, if maybe somebody wants to do writing. I don't know. Maybe somebody else wants to do writing. I don't know. But anyway, thank you for that, Italian Zionist. Italian Zionist now writes, "Please tell us your story of when you met Barbara Streisand at a JTL protest in New York City." I don't remember what happened with that. You know, I don't remember. We met quite a few people when we had protests and all types of. We met people in Manhattan when we were protesting at the Soviet Mission. I'm talking about actors, actresses, and famous people that we've met that just happened to be there. Sometimes when we were protesting, we met people in Los Angeles also when we were protesting. I don't remember what happened with Barbara Streisand. I don't remember the details of it, but you know, there's somebody who sees these programs who I think was there. And if he remembers, he can send me a PM, a private message, and refresh our memory. If you're watching this program, there's somebody out there who was there when this happened, I think, who came to all of our protests and was there. And he watches these programs. Often watches these programs, so if he remembers, maybe he can. But I don't remember exactly beyond seeing her. I don't remember exactly what happened. Thank you, Italian Zionist. And now we go to the great Dr. Dan, who writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim. One, we be kings and queens and Scottesses." Mm-hmm. Your predictions of these nightmare scenarios are coming true. Okay. And Scottis, of course, Scottis refers to Supreme Court justices, and we see this this disgusting creature who is a racist and an anti-Semite and an extremist and an extreme left-wing beast, and just a black hater. We see her now being nominated for the Supreme Court, and she's almost certainly going to be confirmed. It's a terrible, terrible situation. No question that the country is going downhill very, very fast. Dr. Dan now writes, "Two, your thoughts about Rabbi Kanievsky Zatzal. Did he have any interactions with Rabbi Kahana Zatzal?" Unquote. I don't know. I don't know. Rabbi Kahana told us about some of the rabbis that he met, some of the great rabbis that he met, including Harav Tzvi Yehuda Kook, whom he met in the 1970s. And Harav Tzvi Yehuda Kook actually endorsed him when he ran for the Knesset in 1977. About Harav Eliyahu, and he told us about rabbis that he met. He would tell us often that he never mentioned Harav Kanievsky. My thoughts about him are that, you know, he was definitely a Talmid Chacham. He was a great Torah scholar, but unfortunately, his views on the issues, I think, historically have been proven wrong. He was the mentor, the spiritual mentor and leader of a political party Aguda, and today it's called United Torah Zionism. Today it's called the United Torah Judaism. This political party was part of the Sharon government when they threw the Jews out of Gush Katif, and it was okay. He thought it was okay to stay part of a government that throws the Jews out of Gush Katif and destroys 40 different Jewish settlements and throws 10,000 Jews out of their homes. You know, just so that he could get funding for the institutions in his party. And, you know, he's part of the Haredi non-Zionist view, which, again, I think, I'm sorry, I don't think, I think that he's going against what we as a people are supposed to be doing. We're supposed to believe in the land of Israel and believe in settling the entire land of Israel. And we're not allowed to give up land, and we're not allowed to throw Jews out of their homes, and we're not allowed to do these things. You know, but he represents a part of a movement that told us for centuries that we can't return to the land of Israel unless Hashem miraculously does it for us, and that the Zionist movement that was fighting to create the land of Israel in the last century was not going to succeed; they were going to fail, and that the Jews would be safer in Europe. He represents the same Haredi rabbis and the same movement that told the Jews in Europe to stay in Europe, and the Jews who stayed there went to Auschwitz and were burned and gassed. So, what can I tell you? I mean, his worldview is completely contrary, in my view, to everything that has been proven to us by history and by facts and by truth. And I know people are going to think, wow, you have the nerve to say that. I'm sorry. That's my opinion. Thank you, Dr. Dan. And now we go to Eliezer, who writes, and I quote Shalom Chaim 1, can you name countries that you don't consider to be Nazi? Yeah, any country that doesn't actively work to destroy Israel and that doesn't have Jewish blood on their hands and hasn't exterminated Jews wouldn't be Nazi. But countries like Ukraine, who murdered huge numbers of Jews and who to this day support every anti-Israel resolution to destroy Israel in the UN, those countries are Nazis, and who to this day worship and make heroes out of Nazis who have the blood of huge numbers of Jews and participated heavily in the Holocaust, those are Nazi countries. Eliezer now writes, too, can you explain the difference between Nazis who killed Jews in Europe and Ben-Gurion and Rabin who killed Jews in Israel? No, there is no difference. I'm against anyone who murders Jews. And Ben-Gurion and Rabin murder Jews. And I don't, I don't make any excuses for them. They're scum. They were scum. I despise them. And so, I don't make any differentiations. Jews that stab their people in the back and betray their people are worse than Gentiles who do it, because Gentiles, at least they come from a different people, but Jews who do it to their own people, that's even worse. And that's what Ben-Gurion and Rabin did. But the Jews of Israel as a whole are not a nation of Nazi murderers and monsters. So there is a distinction when it comes to the people of Israel. And now we go to Nachas, our great friend Nachas, another great JTFer who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, 1, please discuss the following individuals, Alexander the Great and Cyrus the Great, and how they impacted the Jewish people. The impact was very different. Alexander the Great, he really created the Greek Empire, which was probably the biggest empire at that time ever. I mean, an enormous empire. It stretched from Greece all the way to India. He conquered parts of India, what's today India, from Greece. I mean, it's a huge empire. He was only 20 years old when he succeeded his father and became king and became the emperor. And he died at the age of 32. So he was the emperor of Greece of this Greek empire. That he created. He was the emperor there for 12 years. His impact on the world, I think, was very negative. Very negative. He imposed decadent Greek culture on Jews and on Israel and on the world, and it was a terrible tragedy. Modern Western decadence, the modern concepts of materialistic behavior and worshipping only the physical things and worshipping the human body sports, and I'm in favor of sports only to keep you healthy. I think people should engage in sports and should do exercise to stay healthy. But this worshiping of sports figures and people's lives revolving around someone playing basketball or soccer or baseball or football or whatever the sport is, that's insane. And the Greeks started this, and Alexander the Great, he's the one that spread this decadence, and again, and spread the decadence that also led to sexual immorality. He himself was a homosexual, and he spread the culture that led to tolerance of sexual immorality around the world, which also is a tragedy for any society that allows this to happen. We see in the United States the terrible tragedy of what this leads to. So I think that Alexander the Great had a very negative impact on the world. He 12 years, he was very young and died at the age of 32 and conquered huge amounts of territory and created the Greek Empire, and I think that that was bad for the world. I don't think they brought light to the world, I think they brought darkness to the world. Cruelty, selfishness, egotism, materialism, maniacal desire to acquire things. I want a better house, I want a better this, I want a better car, I want a this and that, and living for that, living for materialistic things instead of living for a higher purpose. And I'm not saying we need to have things to survive. We need basic things to survive. But to live in order, this is, you got to be insane to make this the main focus of your life. We're not taking any of this with us when we leave this world. That's insane. And that Western decadence and Western materialistic culture was something that was spread by the Greeks at first. The Greeks are the ones that started that. And the next person is Cyrus the Great, that Nachus wants us to speak about. Now, he was the Persian emperor. And he conquered many nations. In fact, his successors eventually conquered all the way to Europe, into the Balkans. Cyrus the Great had a positive influence on the world. He created a Persian empire, and he had a positive influence, because when he conquered these nations and became powerful, one of the things he did is he encouraged the Jews who had been expelled and exiled by the Babylonians. He and the Persians destroyed the Babylonians and took over all the lands that the Babylonians controlled, and he encouraged the Jews to return to Israel and encouraged the Jews to rebuild the Holy Temple, Beit HaMikdash. So he had a positive influence. Unfortunately, most of the Jews didn't listen. They didn't return when he gave them the opportunity to, which was tragic. But he was overall a positive influence on the world. And it's a shame that in the end the Greeks defeated the Persians, because in ancient times the Persians were better for the Jews than the Greeks. Thank you. Nachas, oh, I'm sorry. We got question number two. Nachas now writes, 2, do you believe that the United States will eventually reverse the current idiotic and suicidal energy policy of this pathetic administration and return to energy independence before the end of 2022? If not, you think Republicans will reverse it, assuming they win and take back the presidency in 2024? Thank you. Unquote. I hope that the United States is smart enough, because of the war and seeing how vulnerable the world is when we don't have energy independence. I hope they'll understand this. We can completely end our dependence on countries like Russia and Iran and Saudi Arabia and all these, and the Muslim countries and Venezuela, communist countries like Venezuela. We can end all of this. We can bankrupt these evil regimes and make this a safer world and a better world, where evil monsters and despots and people want to build nuclear bombs and terrorize the world don't have the resources to do it. We can create a world like that. We have the capability of moving toward that. And we were moving toward that, but you're right. The Biden administration has created energy policies that are disastrous and that are inhibiting the development of energy and exploration. And we should be using everywhere where you can drill oil, natural gas. Coal should be used. There's nothing wrong with coal. Clean coal is actually cleaner than most other sources of energy that we use. We should be doing all this, and we should be moving on the other technologies, that are called green technologies. We should be moving on those as well. We should be doing everything we can not only to become energy independent, but to become the United States should be the country that supplies energy to the whole world. We should be doing that. And hopefully that will happen. I don't know if it'll happen, but I hope it will. Thank you so much for the great questions. As always, Nachus. And now we move to Roi, who writes, a good friend of ours, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim. One, sometimes you say Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, or Shem Reshaim Yirkav, or both of them. What's the differences? What are the differences? Unquote. Well, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro is the most serious Jewish curse that you can give. It means that not only should the memory of the person you're cursing be eliminated, but all of their relatives in the past, their ancestors, and the future, any children, grandchildren, whatever that they may have in the future, all of that, you're cursing them in this world and in the next, so it's the ultimate curse. And of course, when you curse them and their relatives and everybody else, you're thinking in your mind that you don't want, if there are any good people that might have been connected to them in some way, you don't want them to be part of that curse. But if they have relatives and ancestors and other people that are evil like them, they should also be part of the curse. So you're cursing all of them. Yimach Shmo V'Zichro is the strongest of the curses. And Shem Reshaim Yirkav is just the curse for that one individual, just the general curse that the name of the wicked should rot. And if you really want to curse them severely, you do both. You do a double curse. You do both of them. And for the really evil people, that's something that we usually give them the double curse, the double whammy. Roi now writes, and I quote, too, are you vegan, and what do you think about this way of veganism as in Rabbi Cook's vision? Thanks, unquote. I'm not vegan. Vegans don't eat fish. I eat fish. I eat chicken. I also eat meat, but I eat it rarely. I try to eat it rare, as little as possible, because meat, because I don't want things there's certain things I don't want. I don't want things that are high in bad cholesterol. There's bad cholesterol and good cholesterol. I don't want bad cholesterol. Bad cholesterol clogs the arteries and is one of the main things that kills people. So I don't want things that have bad cholesterol. I don't want things that have saturated fat. And meat has saturated fat, has high amounts of saturated fat. I don't want things, and salt is also unhealthy. It's bad for the blood pressure. And sugar. I want to avoid all of those things as much as possible. Now, you can't avoid them completely, but you should try. For instance, when I eat chicken without the skin. I take the skin off because the skin has a lot of the skin is very unhealthy. It's very high in saturated fat, so I take the skin off of the chicken. I try to eat healthy. I do it for health reasons. And because I'm 65 years old, and I want to live as long as I can and be healthy as long as I can to help the Hilltop youth. That's the real reason. That's the reason I'm alive. That's the reason why I live. I live to help the Hilltop youth. That's my purpose. That's what I care about. That's what I live for. And I want to be as healthy as I can. I don't know how much time I have left. I'm 65 years old. I don't know how much time I have left. But my goal is to help the Hilltop youth and help the land of Israel and the Jewish people as much as I can before I leave the world. And so I want the time to be able to do that. And so I want to eat healthy. Thank you, Roi. And now we go to Angry Chinese Kahanist, who is another very good friend of ours, longtime friend of ours, who writes, and I quote, who would President Chaim pick for the Supreme Court? Unquote. That's a good question, because I don't know enough about attorneys in the United States to know who would be qualified, but it certainly wouldn't be the judges we have now on the lower courts. The judges we have in the lower courts, who are usually the ones that are elevated to the Supreme Court, I don't like any of them. I don't like them. I don't like the politically correct garbage that we get, and even Republican appointees I think are terrible. So, you know, I mean, I would pick people who are closer to the philosophy of Clarence Thomas and closer to the philosophy of course, people who believe in original interpretation of the Constitution and who are and who believe in keeping government out of the lives of people as much as possible, those are the people I would want on the Supreme Court, and people who are moral, people who believe in morality. But I don't know enough to give you names of people who would be qualified for that. I just don't know enough. But those are the characteristics that I would look for in a Supreme Court appointment. Angry Chinese Khanist now writes, and I quote, "When you were at home relaxing and hear thump, 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 thump from some crackhead in a tinted vehicle, what would be your reaction?" Unquote. Well, you know, I'm a moderate and a civil rights leader. So I would never say that my thoughts are, I would love to have a shoulder-fired missile and be able to fire a shoulder-fired missile at the car and blow up the car with all the people inside of it. No, I would never say that. I would never say something like that or even think something like that. Other people may think something like that, but I wouldn't. Obviously, you know what I think of rap noise and of the whole, that whole culture. It's just absolutely grotesque. And as much as I hate seeing black people running around with that rap garbage, when I see these self-hating whites running around with it, or self-hating people of any race, other than blacks, who try to imitate and become part of this, that nauseates me even more than seeing blacks running around with this rap noise. Thank you, Angry Chinese Khanist. And we now go to our very good friend Chabad Khanist, who writes, and I quote, "Do you think that Neshama Karlbach is mocking her father's memory by not only performing in churches and other venues that no God-fearing Jew should even set foot into, but also that she married a, quote, conservative rabbi, unquote, sick, Menachem creditor who performed same-sex chupot, unquote?" First of all, Menachem creditor, her husband, is the lowest scum of the earth. He not only supports performs so-called same-sex marriages, he supports every evil cause under the sun. He is pure evil. And he works with Ruth Messenger and the UJA, by the way, the UJA Federation. He works with them as well. The UJA Federation funds people like this filth, who is against Israel and against the Jews, and supports all of the enemies of the Jewish people, and is just the lowest vermin on the face. Everything you could think of self-hating Jews, he's self-hating Jew squared. And this beast, Neshama Karlbach, who is the daughter whose father, of course, we all know was very famous, but she, by marrying him and participating with him, and she does participate with him, and she's 100% part of all of this. She's also the scum of the earth. Both of them are scum, and the people that they support who murder innocent people, everything that happens to innocent people because of their actions should be on their heads. It should happen to them seven times over. Thank you very much, Chabad Khanist. And we now go to Joe Brandon, who writes, and I quote, "You already know my first question, please answer it." Well, I guess the first question, I know you want me to use the word nigger. That's the first question. That's the answer to the first question. And Joe Brandon now writes, too, "The fact that we exist," and by the way, Joe Brandon, I know that it's very rare when you find somebody who's willing to speak like I speak. So I guess that's why you like to come to the forum and ask the questions. I'm not a fan of black people whom we're supposed to be worshiping, who have done such terrible things to my people, to the Jewish people, ungrateful, filthy pigs after what the Jews did for them. I'm not against every single black person. I don't care about the color of their skin. But their behavior is the behavior of evil, evil people. Their Jew hatred, after everything the Jews did for them in the civil rights movement and all the things Jews did for them, they always bite the hand that feeds them. So, you know, I'm not going to be politically correct on this program. Forget it. That's not happening here. And Joe Brandon writes, and I quote, "Two, the fact that we exist as a genetic expression of our ancestors in the space-time continuum is an ultra-massive success in this universe. Biological life as compared to the sun spectrum of the universe's measurements is the Googleplex level sub-point calculation. So the fact that we exist as a sentient being in the space-time continuum makes us a super creature in the entire vortex of this dimension. Joe, if anybody understands what you just wrote, I take my hat off to them, because I have no clue as to what you're saying. But anyway, I think we understand. I mean, I certainly don't understand what you're saying, but I think, I guess you're making a point here. And Joe writes, and I quote, should we take iodine pills in case nuclear war in Ukraine? I don't think there's going to be nuclear war in Ukraine, Joe. The Russians are not like the Iranians. The Iranians are insane. The Iranians worship death and worship, but the Russians, they don't want to die. They don't want to die. And the Soviets also didn't want to die during the Cold War. You know, so I think they're practical enough not to want to wage nuclear war, because that would be suicidal. So I don't think that's going to happen. And Joe now writes, and I quote, what would you call the Flintstones if they were black? Joe, I already answered that. That was the first question. Thank you, Joe. And now we go to Chaim Azulai Efeshesh, who is one of our people from Eretz Yisrael who writes, and he writes in Hebrew, and I'm going to quickly read what he writes and translate. Shalom Chaim Hanichbad v'hayakar, mashlomcha. Ratziti bevakasha lishol ma ledatcha nitan lasot kedei latzor et kol hapiguim haratzchaniim v'hamezazeim kokach haele berachavei medinat Yisrael. Unquote. What can we do to stop the murderous attacks, the shocking murderous attacks in the land of Israel? And it's something I discussed in the beginning of the program. I'm going to answer them quickly in Hebrew and translate. Chaim ani kimo kahanist omer she'ein pitaron chutz mi legaresh et ha'oyev ha'ravi meretz Yisrael. Ein pitaron. Kol od shehem ba'aretz ze ma sheyikre. Ein du-kiyum itam. Pashut meod. Ein du-kiyum itam. Mi she'omer acheret meshaker. ובינתיים אנחנו לא יכולים לגרש אותם בעצמנו עד שיהיה מהפכה פוליטית ורוחנית בעם ישראל, ועם ישראל יבין מה שצריך לעשות. אז בינתיים אני חושב שצריך לחזק ולתמוך בנוער הגבעות כמה שאפשר. נוער הגבעות הם לא יכולים לעצור את כל ההתקפות, אבל הם כן יכולים לתת לנו הרבה יותר ביטחון ממה שיש לנו כעת. כמה שהם יותר חזקים, כמה שאנחנו נחזק אותם יותר, אני חושב שזה ייתן לנו יותר ביטחון. זה, שוב, הפתרון חייב להיות גירוש של אויבינו מארצנו. אבל בינתיים צריך לחזק את הגורם היחיד בשטח שבאמת לוחם נגד הכיבוש הערבי בארץ ישראל, ואלה אך ורק נוער הגבעות. And I said, the Hilltop Youth, the only ones fighting against the Arab conquest of Israel and the Arab terrorist attacks, they can't stop all the terrorist attacks in Israel. The only solution, again, is to expel the Arab enemy. But, the more we support them, the more we strengthen them, it will improve our situation as much as possible under the circumstances. Chaim now writes, and I quote, והאם לדעתך לממשלה הנוכחית יש קשר לכל הדברים האלה כאשר מערכת הביטחון פשוט מזעזעת, או שזה יותר קורה בעקבות תקופת הרמדאן ללא קשר לממשלה כזו או אחרת? Okay, unquote. When he writes, is the present government connected to all of these incidents? Can you blame the present government? כמובן שהממשלה הנוכחית יחד עם הממשלה הקודמת וכל ממשלות ישראל הם המנהיגים הכושלים והשקרנים שלנו. הם אחראים לכל מה שקורה, כי הם לא לפחות מעודדים את הערבים לעזוב תמורת פיצויים. רוב הערבים רוצים לעזוב. למה לא לעודד אותם לעזוב במקום לתת להם יותר כסף ויותר עזרה כדי לעודד אותם להישאר. זה מה שממשלות ישראל עושות. אז כמובן שהם אחראים. And I said, of course the Israeli governments, all the governments of Israel, since the founding of the state, are all responsible for this, because they're assisting the Arab enemy to stay in Israel instead of encouraging them to leave. עוד שאלה שקשורה בעניין הזה, האם לדעתך יש צורך לעלות להר הבית בתקופה רגישה זו של השתוללות היצרים, בתקיפה נפיצה זו של הרמדאן, או שאתה אישית היית אומר ליהודים שבחודש הקרוב עדיף שלא לעלות להר הבית כדי לא לגרום לפרובוקציות ולהלהטת היצרים בהר. תודה רבה, ושיהיה המשך שבוע רגוע ובטוח לכולם, אמן. He now asks, Chaim Azulai now asks, should we be telling people not to go up to Har Habayit, which is where in other words the Temple Mount, in order not to provoke the Arabs during the month of Ramadan when they have fasting and it's a month for them, the Arab Muslims. And I'm going to answer him first in Hebrew. Anachnu chayavim lalot lehar habayit. Kama shiyoter. Anachnu chayavim לגרש את האויב הערבי מהר הבית גם כן. אין להם מקום שם. זה שלנו. ואנחנו חייבים לעשות את זה, ואסור לנו להיכנע לאלימות ולרצח שלהם. זה רק יחמיר את מצבנו. And what I said is, if we must continue to go up to Har Habayit, to the Temple Mount, and we have to expel the Arab enemy from there as well, and we're not allowed to surrender to their violence and their terrorism, their murder. If we do that, then we're going to lose everything. Ani mode lecha, Chaim Azulai. I thank you, Chaim Azulai. And now we go on to Harel 156, who is another good friend of ours, who writes, and I quote, Dear Chaim, I know your opinion and belief that all Jews, religious and non-Jew, and non-religious, should live in Israel. I agree with you 1,000%. The fact that I live here in New York City, so long is a question I ask myself a lot. I do not have a good answer to myself. Okay, my questions below. What is the future of the religious communities in a variety of places in the U.S., Queens, Brooklyn, Five Towns, Muncie, Lakewood, New Jersey, etc.? Can you give your opinion about where you see these communities 50 and 100 years from now? Can you extrapolate to all the U.S. and religious communities in the world? Can you speak about the same in Israel 50 and 100 years from now? Unquote. We have no future, Harel, outside of Israel. 90% of American Jews are assimilated, intermarried, don't want to be Jewish. 90% of them already. 10% maybe 10% are Orthodox and want to remain Jewish and identify strongly as Jews. And they're the people who live in these places that you're referring to. The Five Towns, Muncie, Lakewood, parts of Queens, parts of Brooklyn. But there is no future. There's no future. The Jewish community here is shrinking every year dramatically and will continue to shrink because there is no future outside of Israel. Almost half the Jews in the world now live in Israel. Almost half the Jews. Harel, when I was a yeled, when I was a child, maybe 15%. Only like 15% or 20% of the Jews in the world lived in Israel. Now it's almost 50%, almost half. And it's going to be the majority. That's where our future is. And 50, 100 years from now, I don't think the Five Towns, Muncie, Lakewood, I doubt that they'll be there. I don't think those communities will exist 50 or 100 years from now. Certainly the Mashiach comes, they won't exist because Jews are not going to live outside of Israel when the Mashiach comes. And I hope the Mashiach comes 50 and 100 years from now. I hope so. I don't know. I won't be here. I'm not going to be here because I'm 65 now. I'm already 65 years old, so I'm not going to live to see it. But I hope that, God willing, I hope the Mashiach comes by then. And if he doesn't, it's possible he won't because we have more than 200 years left till the 6,000 year point when the Mashiach is supposed to come. In any event, these communities have no future here. They're going to be part of a very, even if they do exist because they're Orthodox and they observe, even if they do exist, they're going to be part of a very small and threatened and endangered Jewish community. And it's a joke compared to what we have in Israel. Israel, on the other hand, will flourish and will grow and will become the dominant place for Jews to live in the world. 1,500 years from now, the overwhelming majority of Jews will be living in Israel. And Israel is the place where we have our future. Thank you, Harael, and I want to thank everybody for another program of Ask JTF that I very much enjoyed doing. One of the things we want to do is give people who watch our programs a chance to do something meaningful in their lives. We speak a lot to you about the Hilltop Youth. You know, when you help the Hilltop Youth, just remember they're helping you, because someday God will give you credit, a lot of credit, if you help them. And that's really what we're in this world for. We're in this world to make this a better world, and I don't think there's any doubt that those are the type of people that are working to make this a better world, that are devoting their lives to it. If we don't back them, then what type of people are we? So we got to help. People, by the way, that want to help us, let me in fact give you this information now. They can go to our PayPal account on our main website, which is hayamin.org, and press on the donate button on top in English. And very conveniently, in a couple of minutes, very conveniently donate to help the Hilltop Youth online. And if people want to do it through the mail, they can do it by sending checks and money orders to JTF PO Box 650327, Fresh Meadows, New York 11365. Again, checks made out to JTF and sent to JTF PO Box 650327, Fresh Meadows, New York 11365. That dog Tesla, so loyal. He ran to the house because he saw the house was under attack. It ran to the house and gave his life. He gave his life. And you know something? I know he was just a dog, but he's worth more than all the self-hating Jews that are sent to destroy these beautiful communities and all the self-hating Jewish politicians in the government that do these terrible things. He's worth more than all of them put together. And I hope we'll be worth at least as much as he is, and that we'll be willing to say to the Hilltop Youth, your fight is our fight. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.